Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The announcement that another nursing home facility in South Dakota will be closing this summer highlights the changes that have occurred in elder care needs and resources. The changing culture of housing for older adults was the topic on last week's South Dakota Focus. Stephanie Rissler is here with a recap. She's joining us from our SDPB studios in Vermilion. Hey, Stephanie, welcome back.
Thanks, Lori.
All right. What's the big picture for Americans over the age of 65? The challenges ahead?
Well, they say, and this is through AARP, by 2030, one in five Americans will be over the age of 65. Older adults will outnumber children at that time, which will happen for the first time ever. And when we look at housing, only 1% of housing is equipped to accommodate older Americans right now. So when we did this show last week, we really talked about those challenges, the statistics that we are going to see moving forward, and the culture change that this will bring and has brought to those in the long-term care facilities. And it's a variety of facilities. It's those places that we typically think like our nursing homes, but also independent living facilities, assisted living facilities. They are all seeing a culture change within them.
Even senior apartments, all sorts of things happening here. Tell us, are we keeping up with the policy, you know, the sort of regulations? How are some of those things intersecting with the challenges ahead?
You know, they're not. We had a great group of guests that were on from different facilities across the state. One of the guests, Sally Dom Nordby, she has been in the industry for years. She's a nursing care consultant. She is a former administrator. And she says that residents' needs are placing new demands on facilities, all of them, but regulations have also added to some of the burden for administration. Here's part of what she had to say.
We saw people that what was in the hospital, trachs, broken hips, rehab, ventilators, IVs, they remained in the hospital until about the 1990s, late 90s, 2000s. They started being discharged to the nursing home. And so we had to gear up for more medical model than just a retirement home. Mm-hmm. So the buildings that were built in the 50s and 60s, Stephanie, they weren't built for all of the equipment. And I dare say that when I built the assisted living in 1991, I didn't think about the lifts and the Hoyer lifts and all the equipment that we'd have to do today. So there's been a major shift in the needs of the residents. But the other thing that has significantly changed the structure of skilled nursing is the federal regulations. And when I first got into the business, I had 6 pages of regulations in 1987, front back, that I had to worry about. And so those 6 pages of regulations supported this resident. And assisted living, I know, you know, you don't have federal regulations yet. It will come. As much as the residents has changed in all of the levels of care, our regulation sometimes, I think, has separated us from supporting them to documenting and collecting data. And for every piece of paper, we have moved further and further away from the resident. And I think that's a major struggle for all levels of health care.
And you see this getting worse, not better.
Yes. Until there is some relief in the federal and state regulations with some common sense, forgive me. In my last years of being an administrator, I added a whole lot more administrative staff than I did direct care staff. Hmm.
And Stephanie, this was a huge topic during the South Dakota State Legislature this year as well, wasn't it?
It was. Medicaid reimbursement funding took part of our conversation. And when we first began talking about this last week, the initial thought was to talk about the culture change within the residents, because we are seeing such a wide age gap in those residents. And as this conversation unfolded, of course, we had to talk about those Medicaid reimbursement rates, which the 2019 legislature did improve some increases. Now, Nathan Gelhaus, he was on the program. He's got a facility in Aberdeen, and he also has a facility in Yankton. One is geared towards those with disabilities at a much younger age, and the other is your typical assisted living facility. But he really talked about that Medicaid reimbursement rate and the considerations these administrators have to think about for these care facilities, how they balance between the residents' needs, the regulations, and this available funding.
They did increase 10% for the skilled nursing facilities, the Medicaid reimbursement per resident. And I think, I didn't give this number before, but I want to say it's in the 4,400 range. Is that correct? I could speak more to the assisted living amount. That was increased only 4% up to $2,200 per month. So, you know, if you look at the overall picture and really the business side of this, the requirements and the mandates that come down from the state and the regulators, right, both federal as well, you know, we have to have certain staffing, you know, requirements. We have to have certain food elements that are standard. So there's a base level of expense that's just written into a functioning care facility. Well, when you're talking $2,200 a month has to cover all the food, all keeping the lights on, plus all the staffing and requirements, there's not much of a margin left. If there is a margin left, which a lot of these closing nursing homes have demonstrated, yeah, that how can we put our best foot forward in providing the best possible environment, whether it's through activities or just upgrades to the facility, the grounds. Those are all really capped and limited because we do not get enough money back to take care of these residents properly. One thing that is hopefully going to move in a more positive direction, at least for the assisted living side, is the approach of possibly looking at a tiered structure where based on the needs of, you know, each resident, whether they, let's say they require insulin, well, those are human resources that have to administer that. Right. If they require certain other cares, and then they fall into a category, and then the reimbursement would then in turn compensate the facility in the back for the level of care and the resources that we have to focus on for that resident. So some states already do that. And I certainly, you know, we're not going to solve the issues here today, but I would like to see the South Dakota legislators take a look at something more active than that, than just saying, you know, a flat percentage across the board, because none of our residents deserve or could be looked at as just a step up in percentage. They're all unique.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is South Dakota Focus host Stephanie Rissler, and you were listening to the voice of Nathan Gelhaus. He's owner of Angel House in Aberdeen and Yankton. And we're recapping a South Dakota Focus. You can watch the whole program on the website sdpb.org/watch. And Steph, I'm wondering about, you know, as you said, by 2030, one in five Americans will be over the age of 65. They're going to need a lot of care, which means this is a growing profession. How are we doing as far as getting, you know, a new workforce developed to sort of meet some of these needs?
Well, right now, not very good. And according to Nathan and Bobby Jill Leggett, who also was on the program, she is the executive director of Edgewood Assisted Living in Flandreau. They both talked about the workforce shortage that we have right now in our state, the concerns that they have looking into the future, and how they'd really like to start encouraging more of today's youth to pursue a career in the healthcare industry.
There's not only a shortage of frontline caregivers potentially and in the future and currently, there's also potentially a shortage of good nurses. And so one thing that I've, you know, considered is taking a look at, you know, maybe even starting in the junior high to kind of look at that. But, you know, why couldn't the certified nurse's aide certification be offered just like you would a common, you know, another trade at the high school level, and
sure.
and really get some of these people thinking about, because there's more to it than just taking care of the elderly. I mean, this could be a springboard into a nursing career that some, you know, male or female student had no idea that they would just take a shining to. You know, nothing makes me happier than to see, you know, like an intern or a high school student come in and shadow or just have the experience, and the next thing they know, they've found a career to pursue.
You know, I think a couple of different things. I think, you know, Nathan's definitely correct. We need to start younger and look at this as a career. You know, it's not just something that we're doing temporarily right now. It's not just a job. It really is a passion. And I really think that we should allow our frontline staff to be able to continue their education, to allow them and maybe reimburse for some of the education to become a nurse, to be able to fill some of those gaps, because it is a great experience and it's definitely something that everybody needs. And I think it would help support those rural communities as well.
And Stephanie, you also talked with Senator Mike Rounds for this show, didn't you?
We sat down with Senator Rounds prior to the program, and he talked about a variety of things in the healthcare industry, including where he sees government fitting into this conversation. But he did speak specifically to educational opportunities that are currently in place for those that want a career in long-term care.
So when we start talking about the care that's needed in nursing homes and so forth, nursing care and so forth, that can be handled in many cases by working with career and technical educational institutions. We've got those in South Dakota. There's been additional resources put in, but even more than that, there are scholarships available right now to assist individuals who want to participate in that. As a matter of fact, employers can actually, through what we call the South Dakota Build Program, can actually assist by providing scholarships to people that want to go into a particular technical field or a career field, and then they can go to work for that employer when they come back out. And I think that's one of the underutilized programs, but very successful programs in South Dakota today.
Senator Mike Rounds talking with South Dakota Public Broadcasting Stephanie Ristler for South Dakota Focus. You can find the full program at sdpb.org/watch. Stephanie, this seems like a topic that we're just scratching the surface of. I imagine we'll be talking about aging in South Dakota for some time to come.
I sure hope so. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Lori.